This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Money Movers. I'm your host, Tanya Sam, and welcome back to Money Moves, the daily podcast determined to give you the keys to the kingdom of financial stability, wealth, and abundance. She's the woman behind successful names in the music industry, ranging from artists like TLC, Usher, Akon, and Ashanti. She's an award-winning music industry executive turned philanthropist, helping people through her nonprofit organization, Silence the Shame, that empowers and educates communities on mental health and wellness. Money Movers, please welcome to the podcast, Shanti Dawes. Hi, Shanti.
Hi, Tanya. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm really excited to hear more about you and your story and journey through the music industry, entrepreneurship, all of the above.
Awesome. Well, thanks for thinking of me and including me. It really is an honor to be on today.
Well, you have made a long career in the music industry. You were incredibly well respected and a very established executive and entrepreneur. You know, I hate to name drop, but I will, girl. You've worked with everyone from Usher to Outkast, TLC. It's pretty amazing and epic. I want to start off by like understanding your journey and how you started in the music industry.
Oh, yeah. It's been such a wonderful journey. I am actually a native Atlantan, which I know we have a lot of people who've moved to Atlanta, but it's pretty cool to have grown up in this awesome city and to see it grow and change. And I probably got the music bug in the late 80s when I was in high school and then went on to Syracuse University, majored in television, radio, and film. I went to the S.I. Newhouse School of Communications at Syracuse University. At one time, I kind of thought I wanted to maybe do broadcast journalism or something like that. But then, again, being in Atlanta, I caught the music bug because folks like L.A. Reid and Babyface were moving to town. And
yeah, that was the town. That was the time, right?
It really was. And I ended up securing an internship while I was at Syracuse. I came back home to Atlanta, worked for Capitol Records for 2 summers. And then upon graduation, I got an interview with L.A. Reid, and the gentleman, Scott Folks, who was helping to run LaFace Records, and the rest is history. I was hired in, I think, August of 1993, and I'm a first worker. Mm-hmm. First record I ever worked was Outkast Players Ball. And then I hit the road with Toni Braxton.
Classic. Okay. And some Toni Braxton.
Yes. So that was really amazing and a dream come true for a young girl from the South. And I did that for 8 years until we sold the company. And then I moved up to New York City. I followed L.A. Reid when he replaced Clive Davis at Arista Records. Then I moved over to Columbia Records, became vice president of marketing and senior vice president of marketing. And then eventually became
Wow. These are big roles, Sean, like vice president of marketing. I mean, you know, music is all about marketing. These are big roles.
Thank you. It was really, again, a labor of love, a dream come true. And over the years, I had the opportunity to work with some incredible executives in entertainment as well as the artists. And then I ended up, my last stint was at Universal Motown Records under Sylvia Rhone, who we all know and love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm executive vice president of marketing, and I think the title was vice president of marketing. So yeah, it was an incredible journey.
So I want to talk a little bit more about the jobs and the roles, because, you know, we, a lot of our listeners are from Atlanta, and music is deep in Atlanta. It's a huge part of the industry and the culture. So what does it mean to, you know, lead marketing for the labels and stuff? You know, because I think oftentimes people hear these, you know, the words, they're like, okay, you're in marketing, you're in A&R, you're in music. But what did sort of your day-to-day life look like? And what were sort of the goals within that role?
Sure. So I think I'll just start when I first, you know, was hired at LaFace Records, I was actually doing promotions and then I moved over into marketing. So from a promotions perspective, I was responsible for getting the music to the radio stations. And we're talking like before social media mm-hmm. and all of that, when terrestrial radio was still a thing. And we would actually go up to the radio stations to get the music played. Also going into the clubs and taking 12 inches and getting, you know, DJs throughout the city to really support us and play our music. And I moved over to marketing probably in 98 at LaFace. And as a part of marketing, some of the day-to-day, I guess, tasks would be to, you know, be the liaison between the artist and the label. And so a marketer is kind of looked at as like the cog of the wheel, right? You make everything mm-hmm. on the wheel turn. So I would talk to the publicity department. I would talk to A&R, you know, making sure that they had the schedule set for the artists. And from a publicity perspective, you know, aligning the release of the album and any promotional and marketing materials we needed, making sure that the photo shoot was scheduled, making sure that I bought advertising on radio or on TV. So just really managing the schedules of the artists and making sure that all the assets that we needed to market and promote the artist was done and made. Also, sometimes it would entail just sitting in creative sessions with our graphic artist department and getting the thoughts of the artist and then coming up with cool campaigns and one-liners and that sort of thing. So a lot of the creative process, but then also, which I had to kind of learn, I didn't know initially that also, marketing was managing the budgets of the artists, right?
Right. Like, right.
Or an album, you know, are you going to have a $500,000 budget or $1 million budget? And each department gets allocated X amount of dollars that you can actually spend. And then you got to go out there and sell the record so the company can recoup the money. And, you know, we see the profits from that. So I learned a lot about the business side of it as I started kind of climbing the ladder of success and having to manage the budgets as well of the artists and their campaigns.
Wow. Do you have any crazy stories, or can you think back across your career and think of some of your most innovative marketing campaigns or projects that you worked on with artists?
Well, one of the campaigns a lot of folks in music still talk about is, so this is when the CD, the format, we actually use CDs and they were really popular.
For those of you in the Money Moves audience who are listening that have not owned a CD, pay attention or maybe skip 15 seconds.
There was a CD that we put in the CD player and play the music. And so I think, you know, one of the things that we tried to do in music was to create the hype, if you will, right? Or the anticipation mm-hmm. and the buildup or of a new project or an album. And so we had this artist, Donnell Jones, who was signed to LaFace Records through DJ.
Yeah, I remember Donnell Jones, of course.
So the album, you know, everyone in the company loved it. We believed in it. But we were like, you know, we need people to hear it before it comes out, right? So we can get the industry, meaning folks that worked in the music business, to start buzzing about it. So that mm-hmm. once we take it to the market, that the consumers will be hyped on it as well. So I decided to make an album sampler. So we put together the A&R department, and we created an album sampler and got some packaging put together. And I called it One for the Car, One for the Crib, meaning that it was so good that I needed you listening to it while you're driving to work or in your car. And then I needed you to take it out the house, take it out the car rather. I mean, so you wouldn't have to take it out of the car. You
want
it. So it really became like a big deal amongst the industry. And so every major record company, president, vice president, A&R, interns, everybody had copies of One for the Car, One for the Crib. And it became this whole thing and created a really big buzz and anticipation around the Donnell Jones project. So that was a lot of fun.
I love that. One for the car, one for the crib. Y'all kids will not understand what it meant to have to move your CD out of the car and take it with you, because everything is stored on your phone. So we are maybe dating ourselves, but I'm proud of it. And that's all good. And that sounds like a great campaign.
Yeah. And of course, you know, it costs a little bit more to manufacture, you know, a special CD jacket that could hold mm-hmm. two CDs. But I would say it was well worth the investment, because it did just what we needed. It created a really incredible buzz in anticipation of the Donnell Jones album. And we went on to sell a lot of albums.
It sure did. Sure did.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money, so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, with that illustrious career, what was it that propelled you to decide to make the move to leave the music industry and launch, go out on your own, pursue entrepreneurship and launch your own endeavors?
Well, quite honestly, this part of the story gets to be a little bit more serious. It wasn't always peaches and cream for me. And a lot of people, I've talked and shared, about my journey to folks in the past and publicly on social media. I experienced, anxiety and depression while I was working in the entertainment industry. I did go to therapy early on in the early 2000s, but I didn't really stick with it. And so as I started dealing with adversities in the workplace and not really having the tools that I needed from a wellness perspective, it just really, I felt like the stress and anxiety was just continuing to build up. And it kind of all came to a head in 2009. I also lost a family member that year that I was really close to. My mother had developed Alzheimer's. And I had developed a physical condition called cervical spinal stenosis. And it was a direct result of stress. And so, Tanya, I was like, this is it. Like, I can't do this anymore. It's not good for my health. I miss my family. It was just a lot of factors, I think.
Yeah.
Making that really difficult decision. And I got to tell you, this was at a time where, again, I was EVP. I was making almost $500,000 a year. I mean, I had never paid for a cell phone probably in like 15 years, a cell phone bill. I mean, I think just, money came easy, but I worked really hard.
Yes.
I think I took a lot of that for granted.
Yeah.
And so I had a little bit of a nest egg when I walked away and I moved back home to Atlanta just to kind of figure things out and to be there for my family and to get my health and wellness under control. And so things were good for about the first few years. I ended up starting a live music event here in Atlanta called ATL Live on the Park, which had a team run and became one of the premier showcases for R&B music in the city. But I also continued to deal with different levels of stress. I did go through some financial setbacks. I'm not embarrassed to talk about it because when, for anyone that's listening, if it's younger people or folks around our age who are thinking about transitioning careers, it's important to try to save and to not just make quick decisions.
Yeah. Yes.
And the other thing that I want to mention that's important is us, living below or at or within our means, if you will.
Within our means, yes. And it's,
from New York, I didn't. I was still living, trying to live the life that I lived in New York, and it just wasn't smart. And so I went through that nest egg pretty quickly. And then I ended up consulting and, starting my own consulting agency where I was helping to market, some urban artists, urban adult artists like Johnny Gill and Kelly Price and Life Jennings and other folks. And, it was good for a while, but that's the one thing about that type of entrepreneurship. Things could be great for 3 or 4 months, but then you got to plan for months when, you don't have the projects.
And that I think that's the hardest thing, walking away from the corporate world, everyone always asks, how do you do it? And you have to plan, you have to be intentional. You have to live below your means because you just don't know. Entrepreneurship, going out on your own, it's hard, especially like you say, you came from a corporate background where lunches, dinners, you had expense accounts. That doesn't exist.
It doesn't. And I mean, gosh, I think I had an endless expense account, which was fantastic, over 20 years of that. And so, things got tough for me. And then I ended up, one of my best friends took her own life in 2014. And then I came close to taking my own life in 2015. Nothing I'm embarrassed about. I'm not proud of it, but I'm also not embarrassed about it. And mm-hmm. so I got the help that I needed. And I ended up starting an organization called Silence to Shame. And, it, you know, our main mission is to empower and educate communities around mental health and wellness. We do a lot with underserved populations and communities. And so now I am the CEO and founder of Silence to Shame. So I do the day-to-day with the organization, but mainly my role is to go out and find partnerships for the organization, to market the organization, to bring you know, really strategic and authentic collaborations to the table. And I have an executive director who just kind of runs the programming and that part
wow.
of the day is the team.
Shanti, first of all, I just want to stop you and say thank you because, you know, your candor, your honesty, and your forthrightness with being able to talk about mental health and, you know, suicide in our community, it is life-saving for so many people because you talk about, you know, you've been doing this for a very long time and just being able to silence the shame and have people talk about it and reach out. It's really, it's saving lives. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It means a lot. And, you know, I'll be lying if I said there weren't times, you know, we're looking at my peers and colleagues and, you know, they're still making millions of dollars in the industry mm-hmm. and doing this. But I feel like, you know, I'm a very spiritual person and I felt like, you know, God was giving me second chances on life mm-hmm. and opportunities. And even with my finances, you know, like I said, I had that nest egg for a while and then I had to figure out what was next. You know, I don't come from a wealthy family. I come from several people in my family are successful, but we worked really hard for it. So I had to figure out what mm-hmm. was next. So being able to grow the organization was important, finding grant opportunities, getting those unrestricted donations and funds. And, you know, now we have 6 full-time employees I'm excited and proud of. So we are growing every day. We're doing, we have partnerships with organizations like the Atlanta Hawks. We work with the NFL Players Association. We work with the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. We work with Janssen Neuroscience, NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities in Atlanta, Georgia, just some really good partnerships. And so I'm proud of that and looking forward to really growing the organization to where, you know, we have an annual budget of anywhere between 5 and 10 million, doubling the staff.
Wow. Shanti, this is amazing growth. Yes.
For the next 5 years. And then from a personal perspective, I just recently decided to rebrand my personal LLC. And so the name of it is MIBO, M-I-B-O, and that's for mind and body. And so mm-hmm. it's going to focus on mind and body wellness. I'm starting my own podcast, the MIBO podcast. And I also am a public speaker. I get paid to speak all around the world now for major corporations. I do lunch and learns, fireside chats virtually and in person. I speak at colleges and universities. Again, just sharing my journey around wellness. And as you know, mental health has become
yes.
a pillar in so many corporations and organizations. And it is a topic of interest and discussion. So, you know, good, bad, or whatever, I'm in the right place at the right time right now and grateful.
You're in the right place at the right time.
To try to increase myself for myself again, right? And to build that network. Back up. So it's an exciting time.
You know, and I appreciate just your honesty with it because it is a hard choice.
It is. Yes. And I like nice things and, you know, I'm in certain social circles, but I don't have $1 million in the bank. I'm not embarrassed to say that. Like I run in circles, but you know, it is what it is. I, you know, went through things in life, but God gave me second chances. And, you know, I've worked really hard to help people in this journey. And now I'm focusing a little bit too on me, right? And,
yep.
and building it up because I still want to work in this space, but I do know that I need to create some other revenue streams for Shanti as mm-hmm, well. So mm-hmm. that I'll be able to, you know, do other things and fulfill some other dreams that I have in addition to
and
the organization.
That's what I also love about this. You know, we come from a place where oftentimes people just are always constantly keeping up with the Joneses. Okay, well, you know, I've got to be this. And they think that in order to get there, you've got to spend to get there. And so just, you know, this is real life for so many of us, you know, mm-hmm. but also being able to do that and take care of your mental health, like the combination of what we're talking about right now. I'm just, you know, sending out like healing vibes to any of our listeners right now, anyone in the audience that is struggling. And I think what Shanti does is let you know that there are resources out there. You are not alone. And, you know, I think especially as we've come out of COVID, the past couple of years with the social justice movements, like mental health and wellness has become, I think for so many of us, a lot struggled to really understand what they needed to do to make the right decisions for their own mental health. So just having these conversations, I think is so important as well.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I think it's important for us to, again, you know, be honest with ourselves. We don't have to, you know, you don't have to tell all your business on social media, but you got to talk to somebody about it. You have to have authentic conversations with your close circle of friends that you trust and allow them to be there with you through the journey, right? To protect your mental and your physical wellness, as well as your financial wellness, which is why, you know, I was grateful for you having me on Money Moves, because people don't understand that when you get into situations where you feel financially strapped or you're not paying attention to your finances, that can also take a toll on your mental health.
Oh, that is.
Right. And so that's why, like, I'm at a point now where, like, you know, when I was younger, you know how you do stupid stuff, like you use your rent money for a trip or go shopping. I'm proud to say I don't do that anymore. But I also realized the importance of having multiple, you know, accounts, like checking accounts or saving accounts. So now I, you know, I have an account that I pay my bills from. You know, I have a savings account. I also have a little small account that I put aside for travel because I like traveling and it's a part of my wellness, you know, plan and journey. And so you have to be able to budget, right? And then, you know, itemize your expenses every month and figure out what you can save or what you need to spend. But none of it is worth, you know, dipping into, you know, your monthly, you know, money every month that
your monthly needs bucket. Exactly.
Don't touch that. Make sure you have those multiple accounts. You know, make sure you're supporting Greenwood, right? Opening up your account and having that as one of your.
Ooh, I love guests like this. You make it so easy.
It's important. And that way, you know, you're pouring back into yourself and you're pouring back into your community.
Yes, that is so true. Speaking of pouring back into the community, can you talk about some of the resources Silence the Shame provides or, you know, some of the events? I want people to really be able to connect with your organization.
Absolutely. Thank you. So if you visit us at www.silencetheshame.com, you can learn all about Silence the Shame and what we offer. We do a lot of community conversations. So once a month, we'll pick a topic and have a community conversation. And we usually have licensed professional counselors on board or psychiatrists to talk about that. We also have a podcast with over, I want to say, 50 or 60 episodes. Our podcast has been
around. Wow.
2017, we interview artists, musicians, athletes, educators. We're just dropping one now talking about school counseling, right? And dealing with the wellness of the counselors and the needs of the community. And so we talk about a bunch of different things. We're also having a suicide prevention summit that we're doing in Atlanta at the Gathering Spot on September 14th.
So Gathering Spot. Okay.
Shout out to Ryan and TK and everyone over there. So we try to offer a lot of programming and content. And we also do workplace wellness trainings with companies, wellness trainings. We have a lot of different things, you know, from an advocacy and education perspective to help, you know, the community. Now, we don't offer services, but we can connect you with those clinicians.
Okay, this is incredible. Thank you so much for this. And last but not least, so what is next for you, Shanti? And where can we follow you on social as well as your organization, Silence the Shame?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, I'm really also on the side focusing on MIBO, M-I-B-O. I'm launching wellness apparel tees that are going to be out later this month. I'm launching the MIBO podcast. You can catch me, you know, speaking at colleges upcoming this fall. I'm working on an HBCU tour that I'll be
hopefully. Wow, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot in the works. And if you do need a speaker, check me out at shantidas.biz if you're interested in booking me. Also have a book out, Silencing My Shame, which talks about my wellness journey. You can follow me at shantidas. Das404. And please also follow my personal brand at Mibo Global, M-I-B-O Global on Instagram.
Mibo Global on Instagram, Shanti Das. It was such a pleasure having you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for all that you do for our community and for helping a lot of us obtain and talk about just wellness, being centered. Really important messages and really grateful for your time today.
Thank you. It was an honor. And I will say that when I got the request, I was really happy that you thought of me to have me on the show. I see you in passing and I see you at a lot of events in Atlanta. So continued success to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, Money Movers, that is all the time we have for today, but make sure to follow Shanti on all her social media handles. And if we have helped you to make your money move, please make sure to let us know by sending us a like, sharing the knowledge, and or leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in, Money Moves audience. If you want more or a recap of this episode, please go to thebankgreenwood.com and check out the Money Moves podcast blog. Money Moves is an iHeartRadio podcast powered by Greenwood, executive produced by Sunwise Media, Inc. For more podcasts on iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.